Good morning. We are Masechet Pesachim Daf Nun Bet. Like I mentioned, the shiur today is the Ilui Nishmat Itta Bat Shlomo Halevi, Mark's mom. It is your tzah today, and we are on the Amud. We finished up with Amar Rav Ami B'Yishuv Asu B'Midbar Muta. So we saw over here that the idea here is that we don't want to cause machloket. So in other words, these guys were experts in working out the months. They knew when Yom Tov Sheni was and when it wasn't, but nonetheless, when they were in an area where people were around them, we would see them doing melacha. They couldn't do melacha. They were in an isolated place. They could do it if they want. That might be, maybe, just say maybe, why there's a difference between doing melacha befarhesia on Yom Tov Sheni if you're in Chutz Laaretz as opposed to betzina in private in your house. For the same reason, maybe. Okay. Although we know that the din of married iron, we've seen as well, even applies in your own house. We've seen it as well. Remember, we learned that in... Chulin with the stuff. Okay.
No, but that's when you, that's my time.
Okay, but even if you're alone in your room, though, so maybe not. Anyhow, I'm sorry. Okay, let's carry on. So Rav Natan bar Asiya Azal mibei Rav lepumpadita biyom tov shen shel atzeret. So listen to this. Rav Natan bar Asiya, he walked from Bei Rav lepumpadita biyom tov shen shel atzeret. Right, now what's the problem with going so far from to Atzeret on Shavuot, right? So Shavuot, he went for a far walk. See, there's a Rashi. There's no Rashi, yeah. But he obviously went very far out of the Tchum, right? Which is only in Isur Rabbana. So Shamtei Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef put him in Chayrim. So Amar Abaya, v'linagdei Mar Negidi. What are you putting in Chayrim? Give him Malkot. Why are you putting him in Chayrim? Give him Malkot. Right? So Amar Lei, so listen to this. Shav Yosef says to Abaya, the Adifa Avdilei. You think that Malkot is the big one? Putting him in Chayrim is a bigger punishment. The Adifa Avdilei, look at Rashi. The Adifa Minei, HaChamura Mimena. This Chayrim is more Chamur than Malkot. The Bemarava in Eretz Yisrael, Mimnu Anigna de Beirav, Velo Mimnu Ashamta. Says, look at Rashi Aviya. He says, Avdelei, Sitali, says, Bimenu Inagda de Barberav, Tamid She Sarach, Ayunim Nimla Kloto, Velo Nina Loto, in Eretz Yisrael, with the Tamil Chachamim, if he did something bad, they would give him Malkot, and they wouldn't put him in Chayrim. Right, look at Rashi, the last wide line of Rashi, Mishum, De Shamta Chamura. Because Chayrim is more chamur than Malkot. V'choshashin l'chvod ha-Torah. So why would they only give them Malkot, not put them in Chayrim? Because they were concerned. Because the Talmidei Chachamim, Shaul B'Talmidei Chachamim, is kavod ha-Torah. You come mezalzel kavod ha-Torah by putting a guy in Chayrim. So therefore, we gave him Malkot. So he's trying to say to him, you think that I wasn't harsh enough and I didn't give him Malkot. On the contrary, Chayrim for Talmidei Chachamim is a bigger punishment, more chamur then Malkot. So Ikad Amri, another version of this Gemara says, right, that day Rav Yosef, that Rav Yosef gave him Malkot.
What's the issue of leaving the Tchum on Yom Tov?
Isur Drabanan.
I know, but if it's not for, you know, you can't say it's like, it's something I forgot the line about a Tzorach, even though it's not for Ochel Nefesh, it's,
we said, "Ein ben yom tov shabbos och nefesh bilvad." So why is leaving the tchum ochel nefesh?
But then the idea is that if it's something that could be done for ochel nefesh,
you're saying hoyel. You're saying, why don't we say hoyel?
A hoyel kind of argument.
Like a migo, a hoyel, right? We have never the whole machlok about hoyel. Do we say or don't we say hoyel? But can believing a tchum be considered hoyel for ochel nefesh? You think because we could have what's the hoyle? Why would that make it mutter? I'm trying to think, why would that make it mutter?
You could get food in case you get visitors.
Yeah, I don't know if it's chum. Is it a going out of the chum? I don't think that there's a heter of going out of the chum. It was pikuach nefesh. You're going to die, and yet the only place you could find food was outside the chum. Then it would be pikuach nefesh to chet hakol. I don't think we'd say hoyle. I don't think it would say Hoyle Robert for leaving the Tchum. But you're seeing over here that he was over in Isur Derabana. There was, right? And how important it was. It's obviously also got to do with Minag, right? Because Everyone accepted that. I don't know. So he says to Nikad Amri, Nagdir Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef gave him Malkot. And Amale Abaya, Nisham Temar. Why do you rather put him in Chayrim? Rav Shmuel, Amet Tarvai, both of them say, Menadin Ashtam in Tulim Shogaliot, that a person who's over on 2 days of Yom Tov gets Nidui, gets Shamta, Chayrim. So why are you giving him Malkot? Why don't you put him in Chayrim? This other way around. Amale, Hanimili, Inish Da Alma. He says, that's what normal people, regular guy, you give him Chayrim, you don't give him Malkot. Aval Acha, Tzubir Rabbananu. This is the Tamil, these are Tamil Chachamim, this is Tamil Chochem Aviyah. The Tavilei Avdei. They did him a favor. Get him Malkot. Right, was a favor for him. Why? The Marava, Mimnu, Anigdata, the Beirav. Because in Eretz Yisrael, they would give these guys Malkot if they were Tamil Chachamim. Velo Mimnu Ashamta. They never put them into Chayrim. So we see that what's intuitive is not necessarily correct. We would have thought that Malkot was a bigger punishment. See, a Chayrim is a bigger punishment. And Dafka, because they're Tamid HaChachamim, so we lighten their sentence, so to speak, Michashash of Kvod HaTorah.
What was the implication of the Chayrim? Couldn't have with a minion? What was it?
I suppose everything, you can't be part of the Tzibur. Can't learn about Midrash, can't learn with a Chavuta, you can't follow a minion.
It's definitely worse than Malkot.
Okay, of course it's worse, but let's be honest, you would think that you'd rather get Malkot, you'd rather get a Chayrim than Malkot. Intuitively, I think it's a fair question, right? I mean, Malkot at the end of the day, you know, you yourself, how many 39 lashes there beating on your body? Chayrim for a couple of days, you don't have any minion. Now, we're going to Chayrim now without a problem, we're going to be Dud now, we don't think about it, you know? No one's, I don't think anybody said to the guy at the kupa there, do you know what, let me be patur from quarantine, from a bidur, and give me 39 malkot. You know? Right. Okay. Kiyotsebo, Hamolich, now we go back to the Mishnah. Kiyotsebo, Hamolich, Peirot, Shvit. Right, let's go back into the Mishnah. The Mishnah's here on Daf Nun Amud Bet at the top. What's going on over here? It says, likewise, a person who we saw that with regards to Peirot of Shvid, if they'd finished, there was nothing left in the wild for the animals in the wild, the Chayot, to eat. So you had it there now to be, get rid of all the leftover fruits in your house. But if there was still food on the fields where the animals could eat from, then you could carry on eating that food. You eat it with Kedusha, right? It's got Kedusha Shvit, but you can carry on eating it. So the Mishnah says, likewise, if you go from one place where the food's finished to another place, let's say in a certain town, you know that in this stage, the fields are all finished, so no one can eat in their house that food. In your town, there's still plenty of food in the fields, but now you move to that town, you've got to behave like that town. That's the idea. Chayotze bo. I'm going to explain it. Okay. The Mishnah says, Velaitlei, Rabbi Yehuda, now suddenly we begin to understand Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember when we learned Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Bet, so Rabbi Yehuda said like this, Tanakama said, when you go from one to the other, right, you irrespective, you chayav levaya. Rabbi Yehuda said, go yourself and bring for you as well. And there Rashi said, Mefarish b'gemorah. We weren't quite sure what he meant, but say b'avelachav ata, you also go and bring yourself. Now, the Gemara says, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda, v'leitle Rabbi Yehuda, ha'ditna, noktidav chumre ha'makob shetzim isha v'chumre ha'makob shetzim isha, he's got to take upon himself both the chumres of either side. And with respect to whether you're coming or going, we go now after the chamur situation. Look at Rashi, the very first narrow line from Rashi. Because now we understand, Rabbi Yehuda says, then what could you say to the guy? You arrive in a town with one of the scenarios. Let's say where you are, there was still food. Now you arrive in a town where there's no food in the fields. So now what does the Mishnah say? Tanakama says, you got to go to Chumrah, and therefore you can't eat. Even though you brought your food with you, you can't eat it any longer because in the town where you are now, there's no food to eat of the Shmita stuff. So Rabbi Yehuda, we say, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold that the person could say, a guy who's from a town where they haven't yet finished in the field and they're still allowed to eat the fruit. To a guy in the field, in the town where they aren't allowed to eat the fruit, what do you say to him? Say, you know what, go Go bring yourself some food from my town. What are you worrying about? Go bring food from my town. In my town, there's plenty of food still available. V'timtze shelo kalu sham lechaya. They've not finished it for the animals. V'achol miotan shetavi. So he would say to him, there's plenty of where I came from. Right? So he says over here, otan perot shelcha sheyetcha bebayit asurin. V'tan mishum de gadlu kan. Ubezeh makom kalu. Says, your reason is why you can't eat is because where you are, it's finished. Aval ani hevayti et shelim v'achol meter. I came from a problem. No problem. There's plenty of food there. V'en kan machloket. So that's the understanding at the moment of Tanakama, so to speak. The Gemara says, "V'leitle Rabbi Yehuda de asur mishum." Sorry, we're out. This is what Rabbi Yehuda would say. So Rabbi Yehuda would say to him, "Lech tavi." So the Gemara now says, "How can Rabbi Yehuda say that? How can Rabbi Yehuda say to the guy, what's your problem? Go bring food from where I came from. There's plenty of food from where I came from, and ignore machloket because the whole idea is no machloket anymore. Once I've explained to the guy that the food comes from me, he can himself go and then get food if he wants. No problem." So now Rashi explains the question on Rabbi Yehuda. V'leikel Rabbi Yehuda de asur mishum chomre makom shehalech l'sham. We said in the Mishnah that you take upon yourself the chumras. So how can he say, go and bring? There's a chumra. Where I am now, there isn't food. Right? V'afilu ein shamach loket. Even if the guy's not going to be upset, not going to get into an argument, tahami makom she'en osin, the makom she'osin, the time of love mishum machloketi. Now Rashi wants to say something else. The issue of being machmir, you put yourself a chumra, is not only because of machloket. V'asurin le mishum chumra makom sheyatza misham. It's just because of the din, the Gemara is telling, the Mishnah tells us that when you go from one place to another, you take upon the minhag of the makom. And if you came with a chumra, you take upon the chumra as well of the place where you left. And why? Because we saw that if you are machmir in your own, in the new town, you're not going to cause machloket anyhow because the guy will just think that you're a batan and you want to go work. You won't think that you're being machmir. So why is Rabbi Yehuda ignoring this din, on this isolated din of being machmir, of taking upon yourself all the chumras of the place, and he's saying it's only machloket, and therefore once you explain to the guy that you can go to your house and get food as well, they don't have to worry, you'll be out of machloket. It's not only machloket. I think that's the question. Says later, Rabbi Yehuda, had it not, not lav chumre amakom? Right? Am Rav Shisha b'reid, Rav Idi, milta achriti kam Rabbi Yehuda. He says, this is something else. We're discussing something else here. Look at Rashi here. Milta achriti kam. Oh, mi makom shelo kalu, makom shelo kalu. We talk about a place where in both places they're lo kalu. V'shama shekalu b'mkoman. So this person went from makom shelo kalu to makom shelo kalu. And then he heard shekalu bimkoman chayav leva'er. If he hears now that it's finished in one place, he would have to stop as well. And Rabbi Yehuda says, "Say v'haveilach afatam yehechad de'aitinu v'ha'alav kalu." So he says, "No, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be in a different discussion altogether. We're not discussing minag. You went from one place where they were eating to a place where they were eating, and now suddenly you heard in the one place that they stopped eating." So now Rabbi Yehuda just says, well, then just go bring from somewhere else. What's the big deal? Right? V'shama, back in the Gemara, shekalu b'mkomo, chayav leva'er. So now he came from one place where there wasn't a problem. He arrived in the town. They were still busy eating. Now suddenly he is in the town now where he is that they stopped eating. So the other guy says, he said, nah, we can go bring from there. Rabbi, right? So then Rabbi Yehuda omer, tseva velecha afatam, yehecha deitainu. V'ha lo kalu lehu. So the Gemara says, that's the discussion. It's not our discussion that we thought with regards to the Mishnah of the minhag of makom and chamur. It's not, because if you look at the Mishnah on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, the Mishnah starts off and says, makom shenagu lasot melacha ba'ar v'psachim ad chatzot osin. Makom shenagu lo osin. And then we said, ha'olech imakom she'osin makom she'osin, makom she'notnin alav chomre makom she'atza misham, chomre makom she'lech lisham. We understood that Rabbi Yehuda then carried on when Rabbi Yehuda said over there, Rabbi Yehuda met Seba Velech Ava'ata, that it's on the back of that, and then why is he ignoring the first lines of the Mishnah? People say, no, we're discussing a different story altogether, discussing a scenario where you came from one town where there was food still to another town where there was food still, and therefore the minag was the same minag, so you weren't limited in this minag of where you came to, where you're going to where you came. And now, while you're in this place, suddenly you hear that the food is stopped. So now suddenly you've got to stop eating. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You don't have to stop eating because they're still busy eating somewhere else. Go there and bring food from there. And on that, the Gemara says, "Lamam Rabbi Huda lekula kama." Says Rabbi Huda's whole vorta over here being a kula that he's telling us that as long as there's food somewhere else, we can still carry on eating. We understood that Rabbi Huda taught us a dinya. The Rabbi Huda was being machmir. The way you explained this last time around, it would be a chumra. Look at Rashi. Chumra, Rabbi Huda. Hachi have gami le Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi. Rabbi Huda amar le chumra. Sorry. Rabbi Huda. The answer is because Rabbi Eliezer had learned from his had a mesorah from his rebbe that Rabbi Huda was a chumra. So the Gemara says ele ipuch. The one answer is like a ipuch. Look at Rashi. Tosefet zo. Shehosafdu la Mishnah. See, it's an extra. It's an addendum to the Mishnah. It's not part of our Mishnah. This addendum, change that around. Shehosafdu la Mishnah. Ve'ema o mi makom shelo kalu le makom shelo kalu ve'shama shekalu bimkoman eno chayev levay. Change Rabbi Yehuda around. That if you came from a place where they were eating, where the foods weren't finished in the field, to a place where they are eating, because the foods weren't finished in the field. And then suddenly you heard that in the place where you are now, they stopped in the fields. Ain't ochai, you don't have to buy a fire. Turn it around as a kula. The ain kan mishum chomre makom, sheatza misham shekesha hotziyam adain lo nesru. Because what he's saying, very important, right? That the din would be that when you came from one place to the other place, it wasn't yet asul. So there was no Indian here of chumras. It was all, they were all equal. Right? Rabbi Yehuda, lo neshu. Rabbi Yehuda omer, yesh kan zilzu mikomo. The amri lei b'nei mokomo nishu. And now Rabbi Yehuda comes along and goes to chumra. Because we said, okay, ele leipuch. Right? That the guy, that the din was, that you don't have to burn it. B'nei mokomo nishu. Rabbi Yehuda omer, yesh kan zilzu mikomo. The amri lei b'nei mokomo nishu. Tzeva b'edach ha-mehechad aitu mimakom shabaitu matza shekvar kalu. So this way you could just say Rabbi Yehuda's din was now al-Khumra and change Rabbi Yehuda around because Rabbi Yehuda said that they're saying that you don't have to mevayer. Rabbi Yehuda's saying, what do you mean have to mevayer? Just what? You're just going to bring it from the one place and bring it back here and then you're going to enter into a problem. So it turned Rabbi Yehuda around. Rabbi Yehuda made say, vayrach afata mehechad atu vaklikalu. Abaya says, no, l'olam kediktani, you don't have to change it around and it as is and the story is as it goes. V'achi ka'amar, oi makom shelo kal makom shekalu. That's what we're discussing in Rabbi Yehuda. That you come from a place where you were, they hadn't yet finished eating. And you arrived in a town where they were finished eating. Behech ziran lim koman. And then you went back to your place. Va'adayin lo kalu. And when you came back, so you were in a place where they had finished. Now you came back to your place where they weren't finished. Ein ochai levayir. You don't have to worry. That's the Tanakama speaking. Ein ochai levayir. Why? Because where you are now, the minhag is carrying eating. So we have to bring on a new minhag that you brought with you from your. You went from A to B and back to A. In A, they're still eating when you left. In B, they aren't eating now. When you come back to A, you don't have to bring the minhag back of A because you're already from A. Or Rabbi Yehuda Omer, everybody says, why not? Rabbi Yehuda says, you do. Why? Because you'd have to imagine go back to where you came from. But in the end, hakalu, but they're finished. So he has Rabbi Yehuda telling you the chumra. He says, go bring it, but you can't bring it. But Rabbi Yehuda would say, you could bring from where you were, but you can't bring from where you were because they haven't got anywhere where you were because they finished eating. So he has Rabbi Yehuda the chumra. And on that, Matki Rav Ashi, Rabbi Yehuda, Atu Agaba the Chamakatun, he says, I don't understand. So where did this chumra, if you're telling me now that there's no chumra here, there's no Isur, Rabbi Yehuda already saying, Rabbi Yehuda is saying over here, in our last explanation, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you went. Rabbi Yehuda says, Tzeve elech afa miyachad aitu v'hakalu, and they're finished. All right, look at Rashi over here. V'achi kam banitin ha-molich peirot, and the second last narrow lines of the Rashi there. Ha-molich peirot shavidu makom shekalu makom shelo kalu. You took food from a place where it's finished, a place where they're not finished. Or makom shelo kalu makom shekalu. Or other way around, chayv levayer. Now, hech zirandam koman. Now, you went back to the place where you came from, v'adayin lo kalu, and there they haven't finished it. And chayv levayer. You don't have to mevayer. Rabbi Yehuda Machmir, exactly like this, Rashi explains it nicely. Rabbi Yehuda Machmir, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amrinan Lei, he says to those guys, Tseiva velech afata mihechad aitinu. Hashta, now. He says, you want to eat here now? Then go back to the place where you came from and bring the fruits back. What's the problem? The only problem is, v'hakalala, there aren't fruits there from where you came from anymore because they finished eating them. See, what Rabbi Yehuda wants to know, the fact you came back to where they still busy doesn't help you because you left a place where they can't eat any longer. Therefore, you basically are bound by that chumrah of where you left. So you can't, even though you're going back to where you came from, there's still food there. Where you left, there wasn't food. And the widow would say to the guy, you want to eat? Go bring back from where you came from. So now, on that, Rav Ashi has a kasha. So Matl Rav Ashi says, Rabbi Yehuda, atu agaba de chamra kaltinu. He says, and tell me. He says, agaba de chamra, on the back of the donkey. Sheikh nisan le tocho tomakom. Right? In the place where there was food. Hachamor kaltan b'chumre oto makom shlo yochal hachziran od. Halogad lusham v'eino ochlan sham. Because what happening is, I went from town A to town B with food. And now in town B, they've run out of food in the field, so they've got to stop eating. I came back now to town A, and I've got my food still that I had in town A. I went with food, I came back with food. If you just say, no, you can't eat it now, why? Because when you brought that food back, you would have to bring food from where you came from. And where you came from, there's no food. So actually, I don't understand. Why is the food I'm eating asu? Did they suddenly, on the back of the donkey, absorb all the chumras of that place? Well, what happened to the food? Why has the food changed? It's the same food. I took it and I brought it back. I think that's what he's saying. Look at Rashi. Letoch oto makom, that you brought back to that same place. Hachamor kaltan b'chumre oto makom. So you chalach, you ran odd. Now, the fact that you went there with them on the donkey, did they absorb all the isurim on the back of the donkey? Why was he traveling? Ha lo gadlu sham. They didn't grow there. Veino ochlan sham. I never ate them there. Why they asu? Why they suddenly get the din of that town? And as if they can't be eaten because in that town you can't eat them. What's happened? The food from here. Right, so Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Rashi says no. Rashi says the machloket now, we try to explain Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, is different. He says, Beplukta dahane tanai. He says, this is the machloket. Titnan, we've got a Mishnah, Kovesh, Losha, Kavashim, Bechavit Achad. If you try to pickle like three types of different things in one big barrel, so there are three different types of foods. Rashi says, Yashlosha, Mina Yerek, Bechavit Achad, Shilchomet in vinegar, or Shilchiru in some sort of brine. Rine, what's the word? I always get confused. Brine, rine, brine with a B, eh? Tzir. Kedalit kayem, to preserve it. Now you've got these three types of foods, and what's the problem? That each one finishes in the field at a different time. So you've got all three of these in this barrel pickled together, but each one finishes at a different time. So now, how do you behave? Do you say that one of them in the barrel, as soon as they kalu basadeh, they're all asur? Or do you have a different order? So it's like this. Rabbi Eliezer omer ochlin al arishon. Rabbi Yeshua omer och al af al acharon. Look at Rashi, yeah? Ochlin mishloshtan, one of the three, al arishon. Al smach arishon, amemaher liot kala lechaya min asadeh. Dimishah sheichle echad me min asadeh, shloshtan asurin. The kavshayu mashvelekuchad. The fact you pickle them makes them all into one now. And now the first one of those that will finish off in the field, that there's nothing left animals to eat, you've got to now stop eating all of three. That is what Rabbi Eliezer says. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you go after the last one. Because they're all in the same barrel together, you get a kula. And you go after the look at Rashi, al acharon. Al smach min hakala acharon, of the last one. And even though the first two have already finished, and if they were independent, they weren't in the barrel being pickled, you wouldn't be able to eat them yet because they're already finished in the field. And this is the machloket, but in the Tana of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Kama Saba lak Rabbi Yeshua. Our Tana says lak Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says you go after the last one. He's l'kula. The Mekil. V'hachi mishtamai midamilt. From a place where they aren't finished to a place where they are finished. Kulan chayev levaer. That's only when all of them. Aval kulo miktzat, aval kalu miktzatan. But he wants to say the diuk here. If only some of them are finished. Ochel af mimin hakale. Kerabi Yeshua. Do'ochlin af al acharon. That's what Tanakama says. Tanakama says, you know what? You go from one town to the other. You took with you a whole bundle of food. As long as one of those is still around in the field, you can eat them all. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, Tseva havela chavata. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's sort of like cynical type of response. You want to eat that? Go bring it from there. But you can't bring it from there because it's finished there already. He doesn't like the kula of Rabbi Yeshua that you can eat while they're finished. So what have you bought from there? It's finished. Ah, you still got stock. Doesn't matter. Right? Mioto hamin min asade vare lo timtzaba. You haven't found it in the field. Therefore, the asur grabbing gamliel. That's what he wants to say. The Bakr Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakami is. Not that it's the chumres or whatever the case is. It's quite practical. Where we've got a bundle of stuff, what do we go after? The first one or the last one? Tanakama says, like Rabbi Yeshua, you come from one town to other town, you got plenty of food with you, a whole mixture, you can eat it so long as one of those is still available in the field in the town that you came from. Rabbi Yehuda says to the guy, what are you talking about? Yeah, you want to eat it, save a have. Go to your town now, bring it, and if it's in the field, then you can eat it. But it's not in the field, therefore you can't eat it. As long as the first one is ois, you're finished. That's how he explains Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama. That is Rav Ashi. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, third opinion, yeah? Kol shekala mino min asadeh yiv'er mino min achavit v'alacha kidvarav. And by the way, the halacha is not like either Rabbi Yehuda or Tanakam in that sense, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yeshua. Look at Rabbi Gamliel, that you go one by one. As the field finishes, so too you stop eating in the barrel, respecting that they've been pickled together, it doesn't bother us. Ravina Amar, so that was Rav Ashi. Ravina says no. But plug to the honey tonight. Ravina says, I've got a different one explaining Rav Yehuda and Tanakami and the Machloket. He says, it's a different Machloket. It's a Machloket about around this Mishnah. It's nine. Ochlin betamarin, you can eat tamarim or dates, right? I don't know why I get confused between rim or nim and tamarim, but maybe that doesn't even sound the same, but you know, tamarim or dates.
Come on.
Right, so ochlin b'tamarim ad shekaleh achron shebetzor. Look at this. Tzor was a town. Look at the last Rashi there. Ochlin b'tamarim b'chol eretz Yehuda. In the whole of Eretz Yehuda, you can eat dates. Right, now we know that dates grow midbar Yehuda. Anybody who's gone to the Dead Sea knows that. That's when you're driving down, you see all the date farms. So b'chol eretz Yehuda, ad shekaleh dekel acharon shebetzor. She'ir atmarim. Rashi says, yeah, the capital city of growing tamarim is Tzoar. And until the last tree in Tzoar has got dates on it, you can eat any date from Midbar Yehuda, from Yehuda. V'tzna lekaman, and we learn that on, shalosh arzot nebiru, that Eretz Yisrael is divided up into three separate areas. Right? She'ein b'nei Yehuda ochlin mishekalu b'chol Eretz Yehuda. He says, because we'll see just now, we're going to have Ever Hayarden, Galil, and Yehuda. And those are three different sort of like mechuzot, like vicinities or states or provinces, whatever you call them, districts, jurisdictions, zones, anything you can think of. Right? And each one acts independently. So even if they might have dates still growing in the Galil, right? The fact that in Yehuda they're finished, you can't eat anymore in Yehuda. And vice versa. אבל אוכלין הן ביהודה. זה שאין בני יהודה אוכלין משקלו בכל את יהודה, אף הפי שלא קלו בגליל. אבל אוכלין הן ביהודה, אפילו במקום שקלה, עד שיקרה מקום האחרון שבכל את יהודה. לפי שחיה כשאין מוצא את כאן, הולכת למקום אחר. והיא מתפרנסת שם, ורחמנה טלה בא כדלקה. We'll see that on. We'll see you turn over the apple in a second. Torah split up the area into three. And therefore, in Midbar Yehuda, even if in your immediate vicinity, the areas, there's no more dates on the trees, as long as in the most furthest area in Yehuda, there's still a tree with dates on, you can eat. But once they're finished in Yehuda, you can't eat, even if there's still dates in on the trees in the Galil, or Ever Hayarden, and vice versa. In other words, each in the jurisdiction. He wants to explain to Ravina that this is the Machloket Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. The ochlin betmarin ad shekaleh achron shebetzor, that's Tanakama. Rashbag omer, ochlin ad shel beit hakippin. Right? He says, you eat ad shel beit hakippin. What's beit hakippin? Look at Rashi. He says, sorry, let's read the Gemara first quickly. Ochlin ad shel beit hakippin, v'ein ochlin ad shel bein hashitzin. Right? We have to understand now what bein hakippin means and what bein hashitzin means. Rashi explains as follows. Derech the kalim liot beikaran kotzim saviv v'hainu shitim. This is the way that the palm trees, as a rule, they have around they have thorns, right around their trunk, and these are called shitim. Umina deker atzmanhem, they come out of the palm tree itself. Ulemala alin shelo asuyin kasidran. We all know that, right? All know these long palm trees, right? You've got these like things sticking out, As the palms grow, they fall away and they cause like these thorny things to come out. And then at the very top, there's leaves, right? And the leaves aren't orderly. They grow like one, like that, one, like that, one, like that. See, that's the difference between growing up today in a country like Israel, where you want to get palms for your sukkah. Well, we don't use them, but you just go and you buy them at the shuk in Ranana and you put them on your truck. When we were kids, we used to go with a stepladder with my father. We used to actually climb up and go to people's houses, and we had our same house every year. We'd go and cut their tree for them. And they used to wait for us. They were goyim and they would wait because they knew that the Jews were coming to prune their trees for them for free. And we used to come year after year after year to the same houses, and you walk out of there for the whole of sukkahs. You got these massive sores from these spikes in the palm trees. So when you've done that, you understand what this Gemara is talking about, right? Took a while to think of buying gloves, but in the early days, we used to do without gloves. After a while, we realized you could get these nice, big, thick gloves. Says there, derech yop bikaran kotzim saviv vaynu shitzim umin adeker atzmane ulemala alin shel alin shelo asuin kesidran. They got these very acid, like not orderly, but orderly leaves. Kemin kapot tamarim, right, like the branches as we know them. Because sharuach menashev, when the wind blows, says Rashi, hatamarim noflin, the wind, the palms fall, venisharin beotan kipin, and they stay in the kippin, right? The kippin, he says, right? The beshitzin. So the others stay up top. Right? And then when the wind blows, the other gets stuck in the upper part, or lemata beshitzin in the thorny part. The Kamarab and Chimon, this is what Shimon Gamliel says, the cholzman shemitzin bekipin, so long as the tamarim are still stuck in the top, ochin motan shebebayit, you can carry on eating. Aval ein ochrim min habayit al smach otan shebeshitzin, but the ones that are lower down in the thorny parts, there you can't eat if they're only left in the thorny parts. If yishen achay yecholah litlan bibnei hakotzim, because the animals can't get to the thorny parts to eat them. Therefore, they're as good as gone. Right? Umatnitin achi gamat alakami. It says, this is what our Mishnah says. Kala legamre af mi ben hashitzim. If they finished even in the upper parts, they chayav levayim. Aval kalu min hakipin vadayin yesh beshitzim. But if they finished on the kipin, on the upper part, but they still left down in the shitzim, which the animals can't get to, elo chayav levayim. That's Tanakama. So Tanakama is more making. Remember, we said that Rabbi Huda is lechumra. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, right, look back in the Mishnah here. Ochlin tamarim ad shekele achron shebetzoar. Rashbag says, ochlin al shebein hakipin. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is more machmir. And Tanakama says in this Mishnah that you can eat as long as they're still in the last tree. It doesn't distinguish between the shitzin or the kipin. So you want to say that our Tanakama is like Tanakama here? Right? Look, come Rabbi Shimon, the cause man shebetzoar bekipin ochlin. Okay, so we can understand that the Tanakama that the Ravina wants to say, Amachloka Tanakama Rabbi Yehuda, say Amachloka, yes, this Tanakama Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Right? So that really is the end of that sugya. I know it was a little bit confusing, but I think we made a bit of sense out of it. The Gemara says like this, right? We just spoke now about the three different places of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael was chulak to three plates, and so to understand this last Mishnah, we're now quotes a Mishnah from Masechet Shvit. It says Tnan Hatam. Remember the Tnan Hatam? Hatam means outside of our parak, right? Outside of our Masechta, right? Tnan Hatam. Shalosh Arzot Lebiu. And now we're discussing this particular Mishnah. There are three Arzot Lebiu. Yehuda, Ve'era Yarden, Ve'Galil. Look at Rashi quickly. Shlosh Arzot, Be'er Tishel, Chalukot, Zomizu, they divide it up. L'inyan Biur, as far as Shvit is concerned, when you end up finishing off the field, the foods. She'ein Zor, Shomechet, Azor, neither of these regions can rely on the other. And Mishekaluba, Af Mishelo, Kaluba Chaveta. When they finished, it's finished. Even if in the neighboring region, they're still not finished yet. Right? And now the Mishnah there says something else. V'shalosh arzot v'chol achat v'achat. Right? It means that within each one of these, Yehuda, Galil, and Ever Yardain, they themselves are split up into a further three. Look at Rashi. ושלוש עצות בכל אחת מהן. ואחת, שחלוקות במנהג קיום פירותיהם. And yeah, this is with regards to the minhag of קיום פירות, how the fruits lost. שפירותיהן קלות של זו קודם לזו. ואף על פי כן עשינו כולן אחת לביאור קריבה שבעזיל. Now, exactly why we have to know this, I'm not so sure. Because what the Rashi is telling us is that even within the region, let's take Yehuda. So within the region of Yehuda, there are three sub-regions. And each one of those sub-regions, the fruits will finish on the trees quicker than the other. But nonetheless, we regard it as all one big region. So even let's say region A, the fruits are finished on the trees, but region B, there's still fruits. Region A can also eat in their houses still Shmita produce which they had collected. The Gemara says now, why do we have to know this, that there are three arzot lebiu? Look at Rashi, since there are three of each, then means actually there are nine, says Rashi. So why did the Mishnah say that as far as beer is concerned, there are only three and not nine? Once we said that there are nine. Right? So he says, so now Rashi already jumped the gun, right? That's what Rashi often does. Rashi helps us understand before we even get to the Gemara. He says, why? Because like we just said, look at Rashi, yochlim b'chol achat, asuam l'shalosh shebechol achat, kilu hain achat, v'ochlim b'chol achat v'achat me'ashlosh ha'chulkot debiru ad shikale acharon, shebechlosh, basically like we said, that even though there were three sub-regions, each region behaved like its own region, even though in each sub-region, the foods might have finished at different stages on the field. How do I know this? Look at Rashi. How do I know this? That within these three sub-regions, we treat it as one, even though we can't eat in Yehuda when Galilee is finished and every Ariyardai when Yehuda is finished, etc. So we've got a Pasuk. The Pasuk says like this. It says, "Velivehemtecha velechaya asher ba'artzecha." According to your animals, your domestic animals, and your wild animals that are in your country, in your land, whatever's available, they can eat. With regard to Shemitah, there's no problem whatsoever with your animals, your domesticated animals, or your wild animals eating the Shemitah produce. That's what the Pasuk says. And now the Gemara learns, as far back in the Gemara, remember the wild animals eat on their own. As long as the wild animals are able to eat in the fields, you can carry on feeding your animals at home, because it says, the Pasuk says, your domesticated animals and your wild animals. So we learn a hekesh. As long as the wild animals are able to still retrieve food in the fields from the trees, you can feed your domesticated animals at home the same food.
Even if you harvest it during Shemitah for them?
Absolutely, because Shemitah food you don't eat. Shemitah food, you gotta eat Shemitah food. You just can't sell it. You can't do any trading in Shemitah. There's no issue to eat it. You just gotta eat it by Kedushat Shvi'it. You can't farm, but you can eat what was left over from which it had grown on its own. Then the Mishnah, the Gemara says, carries on.
No, but can you farm for your animals?
No, you can't farm. We're talking here about food that was already, fruit, for example, growing on the trees. Yeah. Yeah. The trees were, the fruits grew on the trees. And, right? When it's finished in the fields and the wild animals can't get food any longer, the Gemara says, "V'gemiri." What does it mean, "gemiri"? Rashi says over here, "V'gemiri." I thought there was a Rashi on that. Yeah, "gemiri." Mesoret me'avoteinu. We've got a mesoria, a long-lasting tradition. The ein chaya shebe Yehuda, and this is what's important. Listen to this. This is a mesora. That ein chaya shebe Yehuda. Gidela al perot shebegalil, the animals who grew, the wild animals who lived in the Judean desert, they never ate from anything in the Galil. Ve'ein chaya shebegalil gidela al perot shebeYehuda, and vice versa. In other words, that is why we've got these three regions, because we know we've got a mesora that there used to be wild like mountain lions, you know, running around Yehuda. There still are, I think, even a few, aren't there? It's supposed to be like in the Bar Masada, they still aren't they? I don't know, maybe not. But there used to be mountain lions. Where he says no. Okay, Robert, you didn't need mountain lions on your trekking.
Thankfully not.
Okay, so these lions wouldn't eat in the Galil; they stay in the Yehuda, etc., vice versa. Right. Okay, so that's basically why we split it all up into three. Tarabanan Perot Yatsu Meret Yisrael Chutz La'aretz. So now we've got another subject over here. We've got fruits.
Well, just one thing. While we've learned all the time that you sorfin, that you burn, you burn the stuff that's over, irrespective of the different gayot.
Well, biur over here, biur, I don't know if biur is dafka burning. You've got to eat it. You've got to get rid of it.
Why don't I say you can give it to your animals rather than sorfin?
No, so that's why I said, I don't know if biur means burning. Biur means getting rid of it. So you could probably quickly feed it to all animals that morning and make them all sick and whatever. Okay. Tanya Rabbanan. Perot she'atzu me'eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. Right? Fruits which were exported. Mit'abrin b'chol makom she'hein. So it says, now mit'barin. B'chol makom she'hein. So now what's the story? So now we've suddenly got fruits. Right? And now the time arrives that it's ois. They're finished in the fields, and now they've got to get rid of them. So the question is, do we have to bring them back to Israel to get rid of them, or can you do by yours? The Mishnah says, mitbarin mechol makom shein. Look at Rashi. Mitbarin kishtagia onat habi'ur shekal lechaya. This is a big problem, eh, with exporting Shmita products. Huge project. Right? Mechol makom shein. Belo matrachinan lei lahachziran la'aretz levaran sham. We have to bring them back to Israel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that's Rashba over there. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Yachzur l'makom mitbaru. He says, no, you've got to bring them back. Why? He's got a reason for this. Mishum shneimar, the pasuk says, v'emtecha v'lechaya asher ba'artzecha. Asher ba'artzecha. Now remember, we already used this pasuk a while ago, right? What was that pasuk used for? We used that pasuk for the hekesh of saying chaya behema, right? So that the times that you, when they finish in the fields, you've got to finish in your house. So Gemara says that, but how effective? We've already used that pasuk. You can't tell me that pasuk's been used already. Look at Rashi. How effective? Lemeutei de'ein somchin b'nei Yehuda el aratzam v'lo al shel galil. So what's going on over here? How can Rabbi Shimon Elazar use it? So he answers in no problem. He says, karibay ba'aretz ba'artzecha. He says, because the pasuk could have just said, v'lim techa v'lechaya asher ba'aretz tiyeh. It doesn't say ba'aretz, it says asher ba'artzecha. So the fact that it says ba'artzecha, look at Rashi here, karibay ba'aretz ba'artzecha, ihave ketiv ba'aretz, have shamat me'echada. Hashtag ketiv ba'artzecha, darush ba'etat. That's where we learned two dinim. You're right. We learned that first pasuk, but the fact that the pasuk could have said ba'aretz, it said ba'artzecha, tells us an extra din. Inami, or me'asher ba'artzecha. You can learn from me'asher. The pasuk said, v'limdecha v'lechaya asher ba'artzecha. Could have just said, v'limdecha v'lechaya ba'artzecha. Why did it add the word asher? Teach with the extra din as well. So he's not too fazed by that. Okay, now we have a bit of a meiser of the story. So we see that Rav Shimon ben Elazar is machmir, that if you've got fruits in Chutz La'aretz, you've got to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael to do their biur. Right? So Rav Safra nafik me'Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz. He went to Eretz to Chutz La'aretz. Have a bahadei garba dechamer b'shvit, and he had with him this big barrel of wine from Shvit. So now he's a bit concerned. Right? If he passed halacha like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he's got to come back with the wine to do biur when the grapes are finished in the field. Got it? Right? Clear, right? Everybody with me? Lance? Right? So now, Hava Bahade, Elavu Bahade, accompanying him on this journey, was Rav Huna Barei Rav Ika for Rav Kahana. Now, Rashi tells us over here that Rav Ika Barei Rav, that Rav Huna Barei Rav Ika and Rav Kahana. Rashi is a Rashi over here. Lavu b'hadai nitlavu imo b'chabura minei drabi abayu talmidei hayu. Oh, so ama lehu ikka deshmir lehi minei drabi abayu. Did you from Rabbi Abayu? It tells that these two were Rabbi Talmidei Rabbi Abayu. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar or lo? Is halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Do I have to take the wine back and do biur? Or can I just do where I am? So listen to this. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Achim Rabbi says as follows, Lachak Rav Shimon Elazar. He says, yes, you got to go back. Amar Rav Huna Barei Rav Ika, the other guy with him says, Hachiyah Rabbi Abahu, El Lachak Rav Shimon Elazar. So now he's confused. Two Talmidim, Rabbi Abahu, and they're each giving him a different answer, conflicting answers coming out here of the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Abahu. So Amar Rav Safra doesn't like this idea that their answer is particular about the Elimut. Rav Safra says to them, Nekot ha klal Rav Huna b'yadach. Says, you should have the klal of Rav Huna in your hands. Right, what was Rav Huna? the diek the gamar shmeitel ipume de rabbi. He says he was very particular when he learned from his rebbe. Look at Rashi here. The diuk shmeitel, the fourth narrow lines there of Rashi. He says kashish kashmua yotze mipi rabo medak deik veome le rabo lishnota pam shniya. He would ask his rebbe to teach him a second time and repeat it. So he'd make sure he understood it properly and know the answer was yes or no. What's going on over here, you guys? You both Talmid Rabbi Abahu. You say yes, you say no. Make up your mind. So now, something, the next line of the Gemara here seems to me to be a little bit kafuch al afuch. I don't know how you say that. Because he cures the quote, Kerechava de Pumpedita, like Rechava Pumpedita, the Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda. Now Rashi's version here is Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Right? The Amar Rechava, Amar Rebbe Yehuda, Harabayit, right? So he tells him a din over here about Harabayit. He said, Setayu Kaful Haya. There was like a Rashi says over here, what's Tayu Kaful? He says, the very last ones, lines right before they come very wide. He says, "Tayu kafulaya, it's tabaot saviv lo." You'd like these rows of chairs around it. Kfulot zol ifnim izo saviv. Double rows, right? Or poles? It's tabaot. I think like a, not chairs, like a amudim, beams, like columns, like double rows of columns, like a Greek type of star. So there's like two rows of columns around there. But look what he says over here. He says, "Stu kflifnim istiv." And it was very particular. What does it mean by stayu kaful? There was a row inside a row. But look at the Rashi over here. He quotes Rabbi Yehuda. And what is Rabbi Yehuda? Safek shama mi Rabbi Yehuda or mi Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. He wasn't sure who he heard it from. From Rabbi Yehuda the Amora or Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. We learned about it another day. Remember we had Yehuda and Gamliel. Who was it? And Rabbi Yehuda and who was it? We had it yesterday. That the two children of Rabbi Yehuda Hillel, I think, actually, they were the children of Rabban Gamliel, right? That was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's grandchildren. Where was it? Yo, Maaseh Yehuda Behillel, Banav Rabban Gamliel, right? So Yehuda, this is that Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the grandchild of Rabbi. So he says he wasn't sure if he heard it from Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya or from Rav Yehuda. Now, you're telling a guy to be so particular, be Madayek in your Limud, an example you bring to somebody who wasn't sure who he learned it from. I don't know. That sort of struck me as a bit odd. But anyhow, the Gemara doesn't seem to say that. But it just says, he just quotes the number of Rav Yehuda. He quotes with Rav Yehuda. Harabai shtiyu kaful tzuvuda, kari lai Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef got very excited. Kari alei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, Rashi says, yeah. Kari alei Rav Yosef de Rav Safra. Rav Safra who gave him Musar for being so medayek. Right? He said, kari Rav Yosef. He quotes the pasuk over here. Ami be'etso yish'al umaklo yagidlo. A bit of a play on the words here. He says he asks him advice. Umaklo yagidlo. Right? And the maklo here seems to imply that with a makel. He answers him with a stick, right? But he explains the pasuk. He says, Ami be'etso yish'al umaklo yagidlo kol ha'mekelo magidlo. We prefer the kula, the one who's mekil. Hamekel yagidlo. So in other words, we've got two conflicting opinions here of Rabbi Abahu. The one says Aloha is not Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you have to go back. The one says Aloha is not Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you don't have to go back. So who's Rabbi Yosef clearly favoring over here? The one who says, you don't have to go back. Right? So he says, kola mekel lo yagidlo. Now another mash, Rabbi Lai, kets kfanai to the shvi'it. So now Rabbi Lai, look at Rashi over here. He says, yeah, Kates kafnaita de shvit. Rashi says, yeah, dekel ta'un kafniot, vein tamarim ktanim. So there was a palm tree that was full loaded with these very small dates, shelo bishlu, unripened dates. V'kitzetz ha-dekel le'etzim v'ifsid kafniot. He chopped down the palm tree to use it for firewood. In the process, he had to throw away or he wasted all these unripened dates. Right, so the Gemara says, "Hechi avidle." How could he do hechi avidachi? How could he do that? We know the Torah tells us, "La'achla amarachmana v'lo lehefsed." When it comes to shvi'it, You can cut things down, right, to eat them, but not to waste them. These are Shemitah produce. This is produce of Shemitah. How do you do such a thing? Right? So the chitayim, so the question says, maybe, you know, chitayim is an answer which isn't an answer. So the chitayim, ahani mili heichad nachit lepira, balechad nachit lepira lo, maybe only when they're very ripe already. Look at Rashi, the nachit lepira. He says, pira she nigmar asru, only if they're ripen fruit, you can't chop them down. But unripen fruit, you can't. The question is, there can't be. Why? Hane matchilei de or la siri. These matchilei, we'll see in a moment, Rashi says, matchilei de or shomer, Hagadel svivota tamarim biktanan. When the dates are little, they've got like something growing around them. Kain pikas hagadel svivot egoze yara dakot. Some sort of like a shell growing around nuts. Same sort of idea, growing around the dates. Now these matchilei of orla. So now they aren't really the fruit. They're just the shell of the fruit, the guarding of the fruit. We said that they're asur. Hoyo v'nasur shomer pri. Why? Because they guard the pri. And when would a tree, the fruits need the guarding? Bekufri. Right, look at Rashi there. Bekufri. What does it mean over here? Bekufri. Keshen ktanop, and they're small. Bekufri hu kafniot. Rashi says, kufra is those little unripened dates. Veshigedelin hu yavesh v'nofel. Then it falls off. Alma kafniot kriin piri. So we see over here that these things, why they're considered orla, like the fruits, because they guard the fruits. And when do they guard the fruits? The fruits are unripe and they're very small. So we see that even when a fruit is unripe and they're very small, it's still called fruit. And if it's still called fruit, then you can't tell me that the heter of chopping down the tree during Shemitah is to eat the fruits, but not to waste the fruits. Ah, but these aren't fruits. No, when they're small, they're already called fruits. Right? So Rav Nachman da Amra Krabi Yossi. Rav Nachman says like this. Rav Nachman da Amar Krabi Yossi ditna Rabbi Yossi Omer smadar asur ibnei shu piri. Upligi Rabban alei. So he says, no, what's going to be here? There's a machloket. Right? That Rav Nachman, now Rashi points out over here, Rav Nachman da Amre piri shlo nigmar karu piri. Right, that was Rav Nachman. Remember Rav Nachman? It said, "V'ham Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravua, Hani Matchle De Ola Asiri." It's Rav Nachman who calls them fruits. But Chacham V'Chole Kalei, and when Rav Eli chopped down the fruits of the tree over here, he was going to Chachamim. And the Chachamim wasn't considered fruit, and therefore wasn't a problem. It wouldn't be a problem. Matki Rav Shimi Min Harda. So Rav Shimi Min Harda is like, "Umi Pligra Rav Anan Rav Yossi B'Shari Lanot." Is it true that we know that Rabbanan, he agrees that there's a machloket, Rav Nachman and Rabbanan, with regard to particular trees. But you now want to say with palm trees. They say with grapes, we'll see in a moment that with a grapevine, they argue with him. Or with a carob tree, they argue with him. But with all other trees, is there also this machloket? That Rav Nachman called it fruit, and Chachamim don't call it fruit? That you want to tell me that that's the reason why Rabbi Eli chopped it down because he passes like Chachamim? The machlok is not in this area at all. That's what he says. Menaru mi pligi Rabbanan leid Rabbi Yossi b'shari lanot v'hatnan me'ematai en kotzinati lanot b'shvid. From when? It's a Mishnah that says in Masechet Shvid, when can't you chop the trees any longer? Bet Shammai mi kolinot she misha yotziu. Bet Shammai says all the trees misha yotziu. Tchilat talim v'nisan. The first time the leaves come out in Nisan, end of story, you can't do anything else. But he don't remember Charuvin. He don't says, no, it would depend. Charuvin, the carob trees, Mishe Yishreshru. Right? Rashi Mishiru Bahen Ka'en Shar Sharot Shel Charuvin. When you start seeing some sort of sign of carobs. Va'agafanim and the vines, Mishe Yagriu. Rashi says over here, what do you mean Mishe Yagriu? Mishe Yagareu. I think I actually wrote out the vowels for myself here. Mishe Yagareu. Right? Mishe Gadlu Hanavim Katsap. When the grapes started growing a little bit, when he kru'u Girua, they're called little grapes. We'll see that on that the measure is like a white bean. So when they're little grapes like white beans, that's when they stop being eating. And the olive trees, when they start with the nets, like that, you know, like in the spring, you start seeing, what's it called, the nets, the before the fruit comes, you see like the tree, the what's it called, like you see the beginning of the thing. I've lost the word in English.
Blossoming,
budding, right. Shenitzu. V'shar kol ha'anot mi she yotziu, and all the other trees, mi she yotziu. Right? So basically, we're carrying tomorrow, but you can see over here, there's lots of pasha to say that Rav Nachman and Rabbanan argue on everything. There are certain trees, yes, but who's going to argue on other trees as well? We'll carry on tomorrow.